Welcome. This is William Evans, and you're listening to Shifting Gears. Our guest today is Fred Donaldson, speaking with us from Connecticut. Fred is internationally recognized for his ongoing research and use of play with children and animals for over 40 years. Fred identifies his work as original play and attributes what he has learned to playing with children and animals. Welcome, Fred.
Thank you, Will. It's nice to be with you again.
You've been on this trail a long time.
Yeah. I guess over half my life.
Yeah. We're doing a series of conversations about trust.
Uh-huh. Well, I think I grew up with trust being that idea of let's make a deal. I think it was commonly used as a prayer to God to get something I wanted. And I would do, go to church or say prayers or be good if God did this.
Right.
So it was a deal. I think that reflected how trust was used in my normal everyday life outside of conversations with God, but just in interactions with my parents, my peer groups, trust was a deal that was made. I do something for you, you do something for me, and I trust that if you say this, it'll get done.
Water is life.
I think of it then as just the kind of trust, or comparable to the kind of trust that I learned to experience with children and animals. And this is just trust in life. It is. It just is. There's no conditions, no obligations, no deal. Just what is.
And we live in a fluid time. In some places, we are having a lot of flooding, and in other places, the flow is drying up. Cape Town, South Africa is running out of water.
Yeah. I think they have less than a month or 2 months.
Something like that.
And they say that Cape Town will be without water. Say, I just saw films of Paris underwater.
Right, and the flooding there.
Yeah.
For many years, you've been telling me you don't do contests anymore.
Right.
And you've published a new book titled Playing for Real, subtitled Replaying the Game of Life.
Uh-huh.
And you advise play as if your life depends upon it.
Right.
It does. Tell us.
In that sense, the play that I'm talking about is akin to water, air. Water, air, gravity, those were gifts of creation. They were just gifts. And the same with original play. It's a gift of creation.
Say a little more about what you mean.
I mean that before all of us existed, and in Christianity, we have the story of Sophia playing before God. In Hindu mythology, we have Leela playing. And out of those two feminine aspects, play was created. The universe was created through play. And this is a kind of play, not a contest behavior between facets of creation, but a play of elements, a play of forces, of energies, all, how to put it, orchestrated by love. And that love as energy force moves down through, flows down through aspects of the universe we live in. Original play is a source of loving energy. It begins with creation itself and literally flows through the cosmos, the Milky Way, our solar system, life on Earth, and to you and I.
Right. Remind us about how water helped you in Los Angeles as a school teacher and a bus driver.
As part of my job, I was to drive each morning and each afternoon the kids from the school back and forth to home. And driving in LA traffic can be a bit of a contest. So I had to figure out, how am I going to do this driving every day, probably an hour and a half to 2 hours a day, and do it in such a way that wasn't stressful for me or anybody else. So I came up with the idea that every roadway was a path of water. Freeways could be very large, rivers, streets were streams, and went from rivers all the way down to creeks, depending on the size of the street. And my job was to use my bus as a molecule of water and to flow through the rivers and streams and creeks of Los Angeles in such a way that my molecule of water, or my school bus, did not interfere with any other molecule. And that was a delightful experiment. I think I was in L.A. 9 years with no accidents, no problems, and no stress from driving in L.A. traffic an hour and a half to 2 hours a day. Because I changed. Now, it wasn't just changing my idea. It wasn't just a metaphor. It changes my energy, how I actually drive the bus, how I hold the steering wheel, how the bus moves then through traffic, and how I relate to other beings in other vehicles.
So you're
in not in a contest with them.
Yeah, exactly. You're in a flow, a non-contest flow. You're mostly water, and you trust the water within you and your exchange with the great water around you.
Yeah.
Water's the most powerful of all our relatives, and yet it's the most humble. And its flow is without a contest.
Yeah, right. And it does. It comes out to be using very soft, long-term power as it wears away very hard rock and substances much harder than it is.
Let me touch on fire for a moment. Does the fire of your intention as a bus driver inform your relationship with water and guide your behavior?
Well, if fire then is, think of as an intention of focus, yeah?
Yes.
It was a matter of focus. That driving a school bus with kids in it and they're not quiet and traffic is doing everything it does, it takes a lot of focus.
Right. So you begin your book,
Playing for Real.
And where can people get it?
It's at Amazon.com.
Right.
Or if you're in Europe, Amazon.de.
So you begin your book by explaining what I would describe as our prevailing worldview and what I would call the current condition of human beings.
Yeah, the contest story of life.
And you tell us we're what we know, and what we know is fear.
Right.
And you describe your journey through contest and fear, and the message of your book, and the majority of your book, is the story that we, each of us, have a choice to disengage from contests in our lives.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, we certainly need your message and the skills you've learned, because many of us are still caught in a dying world story.
Oh, yes.
Your explanation of contests begins in a very well-known and interesting place, and that's Alice in Wonderland with the Duchess game.
Right.
And in a culture of war, where fear is the organizing principle and life is viewed as a survival contest that's accepted not only as normal and natural, but necessary.
Yeah. Yeah, it still is. I mean, that's the prevailing story for human beings. We don't believe, I think we don't even imagine there is another story.
Well, the Duchess told Alice, the more there is of mine, the less there is of yours.
Yeah.
And yet she would say all kinds of things. Sometimes she'd say things that were true. So you didn't know what her real agenda was, but she, in that moment, told Alice what her game was.
Yeah.
This is William Evans. I'm speaking with Fred Donaldson about how he came to trust original play enough to disengage from the contests around him and within him. For me, the real enjoyment and benefit of your book are all the stories of connection and awakening you progressively experienced as you played.
Thank you. They certainly changed my life.
Well, you said it well when you told us the more you play, the more your brain replaces contest patterns with new play patterns.
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't consciously figure that out myself. Actually, it took a friend who's a psychiatrist to first tell me that I had played so long that it changed my brain.
Well, I think that is the most important message of your book, is that we can change our heart minds and choose love instead of fear.
Oh, absolutely.
And in so doing, we change the game and truly begin to play with life rather than trying to defeat it.
Yeah.
But you caution us that your book is not a how-to manual.
Right, yeah.
Original play must be experienced to be realized.
That's absolutely right. Yeah, you can't learn it by reading or watching someone else. It has to be experienced. And it's the experience that teaches me about such things as trust, love, God, all those words, certainly in English, that are at a minimum hard to define. And I don't learn to define them from a belief system, but from experience.
You know them.
Yeah. Yeah. I've realized over these years of playing that I'm much more spiritual now than I was 30 years ago, 20 years ago, 10 years ago. Because the experiences I have force me to look for answers to the questions they raise. And I don't find the answers in what we call objective science. So I have to keep looking for answers. And the closest I come to answers are, what would I say, God attributes.
For me, it's helpful to understand what I've learned playing with you and playing with children and even our new puppy, is that contests previously consumed most of my energy and time.
And yeah, I understand that.
And that the teachers are really around us if we can build a trusting relationship with children before they're brainwashed in contest behavior.
Yes. Most adults, I think, first, don't believe that, and two, don't take the time necessary for that to occur.
Well, it did take me a lot of time to begin to feel it and trust what's inherent in original play. And I begin to, you know, I think I'll give you some of my scientific understanding of how I talk to myself and explain what I think's going on. But I would feel this joy, this wonderful, peaceful joy in playing with you and then with children and the puppy. And I think I was having a download of oxytocin.
Yeah.
And what I'm most excited about now, after all these years, is that there's an awakening of my ability to make life-sustaining choices. And it seems present more often, and it sometimes now just appears effortlessly.
Yeah.
And it feels real and authentic. And I know I have part of my mind that people lump into the subconscious or unconscious is my life-sustaining mind that's able to be in cooperation with the life-sustaining creation. And so an example of that is, you know, it's cold here today. I go outside, my body, I don't have to think. My body immediately conserves heat. It knows how to contract my surface vasculature, and more blood stays in my core, and my hands get cold. They get cold pretty fast.
Yeah.
Can you say anything about your experience making life-sustaining choices?
Well, I certainly, without that ability to make those choices, and usually they're not conscious, I would be dead now. I've been charged by rhinos in Africa, jumped on by Doberman walking down the street, jumped on by lion, had wolves put their teeth through my hands. And I think all of those experiences brought about reflexive choices in an instant to be someone that I consciously didn't know how to be. If you were to ask me, okay, you've trained in martial arts, did anybody train you in how to respond to charging rhinos? No, we never covered that. And yet my body, my presence, reacted instantly with no thought in such a way that the rhinos and the people I was with and myself, everybody was safe. So where's the training from? Who did that? It wasn't Fred. Go ahead.
Finish what you were starting to say.
I think it's a triumvirate of three parts that in Japanese would be not three, not two, not one. So it's me, rhinos, and God.
And I would put that into the words I was trained in as a physician. And I would say, you do know it. It's innate within you, and that's why it just emerges. You've gotten contests out of the way to the degree where you have cleaner access to the life-sustaining being you are.
Yes, and, I agree with that.
And the life-sustaining creation you live in, you're in constant communication and exchange with that, the creation of God. So I want to go back to pretty much where we started this conversation. What can you say to us about life-sustaining play options you see with the water crisis in Cape Town, South Africa? Because you just returned from there.
Right. Well, my guess is that, or I wouldn't be surprised if many people still don't view that water crisis in Cape Town as a contest between humans and a natural resource called water. And the humans are just in contest with water as a source of life, but they're in contest with each other to use, control, have what they think is their, what they believe is their due in terms of the water that they need. And so you have a hierarchy of contests going on. And if everyone just let go, and that's a tough thing to do. And in this sense, I mean, okay, let go of if the government says I get X gallons or liters of water a day, I'm going to let go of my use of that number of liters of water. And I'm not going to get caught up in the contest of my neighbors who use more than they quote-unquote should. Because the normal reaction is, well, if they're going to use more than they should, they're going to water their lawn, take long showers, then I'm going to do that too.
I remember John Kimmy told me years ago, in his experiences with the Hopi, that they lived in places of very scarce water with no fear.
And how did they did he talk about how they managed it?
In your language, I would say they played with it, and sometimes that involved moving to where there was more water.
Yeah.
Because that's the story of Chaco Canyon, and they have a lineage that's connected there that, you know, the elite kept building great houses and new roads, and the farmers, one at a time, walked away and reinvented themselves on the Rio Grande and at Hopi.
Okay.
Thank you, Fred.
Oh, you're welcome, Will. Good to be with you.
Good to have you. This is William Evans. You've been listening to Shifting Gears and a conversation with Fred Donaldson about the benefits of original play in disengaging from contest behavior and fear. This is KDNK. Thank you for listening. Yeah, deep.